To start off with today, I'm going to ask three men besides myself. I'm going to start out and I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for our nation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, and that you're our Lord and our God, and you made us a book full of promises, and you give us all power and all authority over the enemy. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we rebuke the enemy. We command the devil to get his hands off all the men and women in this world, in this United States of America especially, that have forgotten what it is to be a family and be a man and a woman. And, Lord, we come against those things, and we command those things to come out of our people. And we ask you to fill our people, all the people, with love, joy, and peace, that they may know and remember that it takes one man and one woman to make a family. And Lord, may you put these men and women, especially the men, will you put them in a place so that they will stay at home with their children and their wives, and we will have no more divorces in the church. Lord, you said ask anything in your name and you will do it for us. So Father, we want a pure, holy church just like you do. I know you're coming for a pure, holy church. And so, Lord, we're going to do everything we know how to do to get you to move by the power of your Spirit to touch the lives and hearts of every man and woman that confesses and professes to be a child of God, that they may be about your business and see you do great and mighty things. And Father, I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand up and pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your promises. And Lord, we take advantage of those many promises that you've given us in your word. And we pray, Lord, I pray, and I hope these will join with me, that you will put your hand on the preachers of this country.
Yes, Lord.
And you will either change their heart or get them out of ministry. Lord, we pray for believing, trusting preachers that exercise your promises before their congregation.
Yes, Lord.
And encourage their congregation. And we thank you, Lord, for the saints here that we encourage one another. And we see your hand in our lives on at least a weekly basis. And we thank you because that's so magnificent, Lord. We can't see you. Many of us certainly don't hear you every day or every week. But when we see the results of us coming to you on behalf of your mighty promises, we know you're there. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, who's next?
Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that your word says, if we ask anything in your name, it shall be done.
Yes.
Jesus, you gave us your name, your authority, your ability,
your Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command the enemy to take your hands off our nation. In
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, take your hands off our churches. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then from heaven will you hear and you will forgive our sin and you'll heal our land. Father, the reason the things going on in the United States is because it's going on in the church. Father God, forgive us. We are the salt of the earth. And in Jesus' name, we agree. Because Jesus, you said, if any two of us agree is touching anything, it shall be done.
Yes,
we agree for an anointed, powerful move of God, revival in us, in our nation. In
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, to save us, to
yes,
save
Lord.
Our nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And all who agree said.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us for this great nation. We trust you, Lord. We trust in your name, and we ask that we all continue to keep our face on you and follow you in your footsteps, and we know if we acknowledge everything that you do for us, that you will take care of us and keep this country on the right path. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many of you know. We lost one of our elders, 75 and a half years of age, Eldon Nittle, last week. And We had a funeral here for him since he had so many friends and relatives here. And then we had to drive him all the way to Tulsa. He wanted to be buried up there. And so we didn't get back till Wednesday night. And then my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, she's 85, and he's 91. And they played golf together a Tuesday. And then Friday afternoon, he just died at home. And so we got to go to another funeral, you know. So, but how many of y'all know we all got to graduate someday?
Yeah.
You know, and I will have to say my brother-in-law that when the last time I was down and visited with him, he said, Thurman, when the Lord takes me home, I want him just to take me home with no pain, no hospital stay, right here at home. I want to die right here at home. And that's exactly what God did for him. He even his son and daughter-in-law came out to visit with him. And they were sitting there talking after supper, and he just died. Isn't that amazing? You know, he's 91 years of age, you know, and he played golf on Tuesday. So we all are going to have to go home sooner or later. But those of us that are left behind for a while, you know, we're going to have to fight these battles. God, obviously, there's some real battles out there. And we got some of the programs for Eldon. If, you know, we brought a few extras, and if anybody wants one, so you'll know that these children will pass them out to you if you want one. You want to see about the funeral and how it worked and everything. And then after service is over today, Cheryl has a book up here at the front with got pictures of Eldon and his family and everything. If y'all, anybody wants to see those pictures, they'll be up here on the front row after the service is over. You know, so we've got some typical things that goes on every day. You know, we live and die, do we not? I've never seen a time like this in my life, and I think God's doing this to drive us to pray.
Amen.
You know, we're not praying enough, we're not spending enough time with Him, and as I've learned a little bit about God over the years, He puts times of test upon us to get us to get closer to Him. And sometimes we don't ever get there. Sometimes we stay with our sickness and disease. And just to show you or tell you how long that sometimes God takes to get you where He wants you, you know, sometimes you'll have a sickness or a problem and you'll start praying over something and maybe you don't really get in the Word very much and for a long time. And it may take months or even years. In fact, I was just looking at Jack back there thinking, that big tumor on the back of his hand when Jack started coming here and learned that God was a healer, because he was just like I was. I was a Southern Baptist, and I never saw anybody get healed in a Baptist church up until I got a hold of it. But Jack, I don't think he had seen that either. But after he saw God start moving out here, we started praying over him, and then that big old tumor he had on his hand for 40 years, I think that's what it was, 40 years he had that tumor on his hand. We started praying over that thing and asking the Lord to take that off and everything. And it took 10 months. And after 10 months, that tumor, which had been there for 40 years, is gone. And so, you know, but we see all kinds of miracles and healings like that. If you don't give up, the God that we serve out here at this ministry, He is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen. He is God. He's here. He does all kinds of things for us. All we got to do is believe. Now then, coming up this Saturday, we have a healing school this Saturday from 1 till 5. You know, we invite anybody to come. It's free. You don't have to register or nothing. Just come. And we've had all kinds of healings and miracles at our healing schools. We've been doing this for about 30 years, all told. And we've been doing them here in this building now, 6 or 7. I forget what, I think about 7 years. But anyway, we get lots of people that are sitting here today have been healed at this ministry. And for those of you that are fairly new, I'm just going to ask those of you that you or your children have received a healing at this ministry, I want you just to hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. So you can look around and see the people that have been healed at this ministry. We serve a God that's alive and well.
Amen.
I mean, He is alive and well, and He heals people, and He does all kinds of miracles for us. So we love to see Him do those kind of things. Yeah, I've got a couple of testimonies. First of all, Jack. Jack, you had a testimony. Come up here and give us your testimony. Jack has a testimony he wants to give us. He didn't tell me yet, so I don't know what it is either. So.
Well,
We got to be careful on this first one because I got this from Dave.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to get Dave too excited here. No, you know, I had something that I was trying to do in my life and trying to overcome. And so this last week or so, I just said, Jesus, I'm your son. I'm not having success here. You got to come down and clean me up.
Amen. That sounds like Dave talking.
Yeah, I know. So, and that was gone. And another thing, now this is going to sound very minor to y'all. And it is minor, but it's also major. I frequently say, praise the Lord for small, weak demons. And let me add to that, for small, weak tests. This week I went to visit my mother in Commerce, Texas, 70 miles away from Dallas to the east, and I had a bunch of stuff I was dealing with, and so, make a long story short, I locked my keys in my car with my lights on, and I didn't notice it for a couple of 2-3 hours, and now it's getting dark, and so I'm trying to take a coat hanger and do all that, and I put the coat hanger in there, and it hangs up in the little sealant around there, and I know, well, yeah, I can overcome that. It's going to rip it, and now I'm going to have to deal with the wind noise from now on, and kept doing that. And so finally, oh, wait a minute.
Haven't prayed about this yet.
And I kind of got that because I told Mike's story that he's told last week to my son and others. And so I prayed, and then That coat hanger slipped right in there, slipped right around.
Amen. Amen.
So what that told me, not that I couldn't have done that with you know, strength or whatever, but it said God is right here.
Amen. 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 Isn't that wonderful how God is right there? When the Lord says, do all things with prayer and thanksgiving, what do you mean, Mike? But for those of you who didn't get to hear that wonderful testimony last Sunday, you really missed it. You need to get a copy of the tape because that was a great testimony Mike had last week. Gloria had a great one this week too. Gloria, come up here right quick and tell us what the Lord's done here. Come on, girl. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she came into my office this last week bouncing off the walls. And you'll understand when you hear what she's going to tell you. She brought everybody with her, I think. Everybody in the ministry center came in with her.
God is so wonderful, saints. You know, we just don't realize who we are in Jesus Christ. You know, we are his ambassadors walking around the earth. The Lord says that he would raise us up in the last day. Jesus said, everyone that the Father has given him, he will raise us up. And this is a time of darkness in our land. Amen. But we are supposed to shine as lights.
Amen.
And walk and be fearless. Because Jesus, if he's for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
I have this awesome testimony, one of them, that I would like to share with you guys. I have this young lady that called in. I thank God for Cheryl and Thurman because people don't realize this ministry is all over the world, everywhere. People call in. You know, people will see someone in the grocery store, and they can have a situation, and they'll give them a CD. Well, when they get the CD, they don't know what to expect. They don't know what they're getting the CD for, and they start listening to it. And I had this one lady. This happened to her. She was out somewhere. Her children tried to kill her. She had five children. Three of her children had been trying to kill her. They have the best relationship ever. Then one day, three of the children got recruited by a Muslim. And ever since they started going to this mosque, or this church where the Muslim was, they started trying to kill her. They was on a rampage. And so she asked the daughter, why are you trying to kill me? The daughter said, because you love me too much. You don't supposed to love me like that. Well, they started trying to kill her. The police said, and the police, one of the guys was a Christian, and he started to tell her, he told the young girl, that is a demon in you. You've gotten a demon. You shouldn't be trying to kill your mother. But anyway, somebody gave the lady one of Thurman's tapes, one of his CDs. She called in and she was crying. She didn't know what to do. She had listened to the CD. She said, all my life, I've been listening to Pastor Thurman on this CD. I just listened to him. And now I realize why all my life I've been having all these problems. Nothing ever worked for me. Her mother didn't want her. And she said nothing never worked for her. And she saw that she was under all the curses that she was under. Okay. And so I started talking to her. And I asked her, I said, do you have your sins confessed before God? She didn't even know what I was talking about. And the Lord told me, she's not born again. So I said, praise God, I got a fish now. Glory. Because the Lord wants us to be fishers of men. He wants us to go out and fish, to bring fish and go catch fish, because God is soon to come. We need to get out and win souls for the kingdom of God. It's time to go out and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. But anyway, so I began to pray for her, and I told her, I said, would you like to be born again? And she said, yes. And she was just, the whole time, she was just weeping and crying. She didn't know what to do. And I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to repeat after me. When she repeated after me, and then when she got through, I told her, I love you. She just really started crying. Then she said, do you know, no one in my life, my parents, no one has ever told me that they love me. I said, well, sister, I love you. I love you in Jesus Christ. And she just started weeping and weeping and weeping. And I started praying for her. And then I asked her, I said, now that you're in the kingdom of God, there's privileges. I say, all of God's promises are yes and amen. And I said, what's wrong with you? So she started telling me, first of all, 90% of her heart was not working. She didn't even have that much blood in her heart. The doctors, she was walking around pretty much like a dead person. The doctors didn't even know how she was still living. She couldn't see. She couldn't see her. Her vision was clouded out. She couldn't see. She had ringing in her ears really loud. And I began to pray for her. When she came into the kingdom of God, first of all, I broke all the curses off of her and all of this. And then I prayed for her. And the minute I got through praying for her, while I was praying, and I continued to pray for her and praise God, she said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I can see. I can see. I can see so clear. And this is the big thing. Of course, sight is one of them too. But she said she had all these big boils over her skin, and stuff was coming up out of her skin. And she was instantly healed when I prayed for her.
Hey.
No more boils. She didn't have any more boils. She could see, and she was the ringing. She said, oh my goodness. She said, the ringing has stopped in my ears. I've been having ringing in my ears for 30 years. And 30 years, can you imagine somebody having ringing in their ears for 30 years? They could not see. Their life is a turmoil. They want to die. They didn't know what to do, but Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! Glory! But Jesus! Hallelujah!
Amen.
See, you know, woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. You know what? See, this is what it's all about.
Amen.
Setting the captives free. Yeah. Jesus said, you go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. You in his name shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues and lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. We need to be a light in this dying world.
Amen.
They have no, we are the answer to them. People don't know where to turn to. We need to pray for them, and we need to bring in souls for the kingdom of God. And she just, oh my goodness, she said, oh, I thank you so much. I thank you so much. She said, I feel different. And then immediately, and I asked the Lord to fill her with the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Amen.
And you know what? Immediately, she said, she told me about her children. And I said, okay, now you have a privilege. I said, the Lord promised you that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So we're going to pray for these children. We're going to rebuke the devil and command him to take his hands off of these children and stop blinding their minds from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's going to draw them by the Holy Spirit and send a laborer out there in the vineyard for these children. And I told her, don't you worry about them trying to kill you anymore. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I just spoke the word of God up over her. And she just began to, she said, I heard the Lord speak to me. Oh my goodness. She said, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, he's been having me in his hands all this time. And then he spoke to her again and said, my children are in your hand. She said, oh my goodness. She said, all my life, all the burdens. She said, I feel like something just lifted up off of me like a blanket. She was completely and totally free, healed, and born again. God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Woo, glory. And we should always give him the glory. I have a lot of testimonies, but I don't want to stand here. But that one right there, you know, it's just so important for us to go out and tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
I minister to Catholics. And they have come into the kingdom of God. I love it when people want to get saved. That's just even the more awesome because, you know, you can tell them about the privileges they have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God wants us free. He wants us healed. Amen. He wants us sozo.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. I've got a small one myself. There's a young man. Called me this last week, or he didn't call me, but he called and he wanted to talk to a prayer warrior. Well, we were all gone Friday, everybody but me and Cheryl and Kathy. Kathy was still here. And so anyway, she wanted to know if I would call and talk to him. So I said, okay. So I did. I called him and he never dreamed that when he wanted a prayer warrior that he would be able to get me, he said. So when I called, he was amazed. But he said, I'm so glad you called because he said, I've been listening to your teachings for a while now. He said, I came out of a Southern Baptist church. And he said, we didn't believe anything and about healing or the power of God or nothing. But he says, I've been listening to your tapes day and night. And he said, I'm believing God and I'm checking out God's word. And said, as I check out God's word, it says exactly what you teach. So he said, I'm beginning to pray for people. And said, I'm praying for people in businesses and everything, just like you do. And he said, I'm seeing great results. And he said, the other day we were out playing baseball. And he said, one of the associate pastors come sliding in there and did something and said his knee popped like crazy. And said he was screaming at the top of his lungs. And this church has got about 250 people. So they had a couple of associate pastors and a senior pastor. And he says that... He's screaming, so said the senior pastor come running out and says, somebody call 911, let's get him to a doctor. So he said, why don't we call on Jesus first? I mean, does that make sense that if we're a Christian church and we're serving Jesus and he's the greatest doctor in the world, shouldn't we at least call on Jesus first? So anyway, the senior pastor said, we ain't got time to pray. This is the senior pastor. We don't have time to pray. We need to get him to a hospital. He said, okay, you go ahead and make the phone call. While you're making the phone call, I'm going to pray.
Woo!
So he said, I began to pray. And I did this exactly like I learned from you. I quote scripture. You know, I quoted the word of God, called the Lord in remembrance of his promises and all this stuff. And he said, all of a sudden, the guy says, my knee quit hurting. It don't hurt. And so he said, we picked him up. And about that time, he said, and they got there with a car or something to take him to the doctor. And he said, how are you doing? He said, well, it don't hurt. I'm fine. But anyway, they took him on to the doctor. And he said the next day, whenever the pastors were all back out there, said he had one of those little bandages, you know, around his knee, one of those little flex bands. And I said, how's your leg? He said, well, it don't hurt at all. Everything's great. And so he said, by the afternoon, we were all playing baseball again. And said, you know, out of all of that, not one single pastor or person in the church acknowledged at all that Jesus had anything to do with his healing. Is it a wonder we get God to do anything for us? You know, I just stand in awe of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and how little we trust him. But I think we need to trust him, don't you? If we trust him at all times, he'll do all things. So now then, did we cover all the little details on? Did I miss anything? Okay, then, as long as we got everything. Okay. It's definitely a good time to pray for the nation. Don't you agree?
Amen.
And we're gonna be in the book of Proverbs today, chapter 8, and the NLT. I want us to read a little of Proverbs. Proverbs has got some awesome things in it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, the NLT. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. You know, I don't know how many years I served God before I knew that when it says listen as wisdom calls out. I had no idea that the scripture says pray about everything with thanksgiving. I read some of those things. I was a Sunday school teacher, but I failed to realize that God's word is an owner's manual for us, his children, and that we are to do everything he told us to do. And if we would, he would show up. And so when I begin to listen and see things like this about wisdom, when I come to, I'm going to come right back to here, but I'm going to make one more little detour to James chapter 1, verse 6, or James 1, verses 1 through 7. I want to look at those right quick. James 1, this letter from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greeting. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Boy, do we not do that very good. You know, when trials and tribulations come our way, what do? Grumble and complain. That's exactly right. We grumble and complain. But the Lord says, in other words, what he's trying to tell us, he's going to test us. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So, you know, like I've told lots of people, I said, you know, you get in your car and you're going to church. You drive down the road and you get about halfway to church and the traffic is busy and everything, and all of a sudden you run over something and you have a flat tire. Everybody jumps up and gets out and says, Lord, thank you for my flat tire. Is that not what we do?
No.
Jason, we don't do that? We don't do that, do we? But we do fuss, don't we? That's what we almost all of us do. Oh, my goodness, I'm on the way to church and I got a flat tire. Well, see, you didn't know that right behind you, there's going to be somebody else that's going to be two or three of them, and they're going to run across that same thing you run over, and they're all going to ruin their tires, and you're going to be there to jump out and start talking to them and telling them how wonderful Jesus is instead of grumbling and complaining. And so you're going to be just like Gloria. You're going to lead somebody to Christ. You know, it's amazing what we do and how we don't do what God's Word says. It's so easy to grumble and complain, isn't it? It sure is. Instead of saying, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this flat tire. Lord, I know I have the same problems you do, but I'm learning. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for pure joy, great joy. Okay, verse 3 and 4. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested. Well, do you want to have an opportunity to grow? Well, you're going to have a test. That's just like somebody was telling me here a while back about the test I had when my granddaughter was killed in that car wreck. When I got to Cook's Medical Center and they told me her brain stem was severed, her eyes were jerked out of her brain, her skull's crushed in five places, all the bones across her nose here was all crushed, and her head was twice its size, and that every organ in her body is damaged and her right knee is crushed and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And they said, we're sorry, sir, when we remove life support, she will decease. Great trials, great tests bring great testimonies. If you get a headache and somebody prays over you and touches you and your headache goes away, nobody's impressed because they think, well, it's just a coincidence. But if you walk into a hospital room with a little girl in the shape my granddaughter was, and I begin to take God's word and quote God's word, and I begin to pray over that little girl, and that little girl completely recovers. And today, when she was 3 when this happened, today she's 17 years old, and she's a beautiful little girl. Let me tell you, everybody knows that God showed up for that. That was not just one of those little whimsical prayers that we did. That was God. And God showed up. So, I mean, if he says he can do those kind of things, when I walked in there that day and looked at her, all I did was worship and praise the Lord for my trial and test. And the social worker, she said, I've never seen anybody like you. She said, when a man's lost his wife, his daughter, and his granddaughter, and it looks like, and all you can do is praise God, she said, I do not understand what's wrong with you. I said, I know the Savior. Do you know the Savior?
Amen.
How many of you in this room know my Jesus?
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him before you leave here today.
Amen.
If you do not know Jesus, you need to know Jesus before you leave here today. And for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Everybody wants their endurance to grow, but they don't want the tests. They don't want those tests. But you can't have great testimonies without great tests. Verse 4. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, is that something? Verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But the next verse is the one where we miss it. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. That's where so many people miss it today. Especially for healing, when we ask God to heal us, then we put all of our faith in the doctor and not Jesus. What does he say there? But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in who?
God.
What does it mean to have your faith in God alone? Does that mean you're supposed to trust him without a doctor? That's exactly what I did. I mean, I trusted God alone. I mean, her brain stem is severed. You know, her eyes are jerked out of her brain. You know, I mean, she is tore up all over. And in fact, every doctor there, she was so bad. I had no problem with no doctor when I said, I'm going to stand on the Word of God alone. I don't want a single knife put on her body. They said, sir, we won't argue with you at all. This little girl, it's impossible for her to live. So there ain't no way we would even think about doing any surgery. The brain stem cannot be reconnected. The eyes cannot be reconnected. There's nothing that's wrong with her can be reconnected by a doctor. So there's not any reason we would want to do anything because this little girl's going to die. But I stood on God's word and she lived, you know, asked God. But if you have a halfway case where they can do something, then they're going to want to do what they want to do. And if you go in and tell your doctor, I'm going to trust God, he's going to think you're crazy. I mean, that's just the way it is. And of course, don't you do it unless you have that kind of faith in you. You know, if you don't have the kind of faith in God's word to trust him and him alone, then don't do it because you might not make it either. When God says this, there's only one way to get this kind of faith, and that's spend time with God in his word. If you're not spending time with God in the word, you can't have this kind of faith. But he's telling us here, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Let me show you verse 7, what happens if you don't trust God. Such people should not expect to receive what? What did he say? Okay, I'm just asking to make sure y'all are looking at that. Such people that are wavery, they're unstable. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So are you beginning to see why so many people don't get anything from God? Because they don't go to him and don't ask him. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 8. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. Verse 2. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. Verse 3. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud. Verse 4. I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Verse 6. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. Now, who do you know that can make a statement like that? Only God can make a statement like that. I don't care who you are, you can't possibly make a statement that everything you say is right every time unless you are God. Now, if you're God and you're calling out, I have important things to tell you and everything I tell you is right. Verse 7. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instructions rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. Now that gets all of us men, especially men, and most women too today. Instead of choosing the instructions from God's word, we will take money, silver or gold, almost every time over the word of God. We don't realize how important the word of God is, that it's an owner's manual, that it means exactly what it says, and everything it says is absolutely true, and it means exactly what it says. Verse 11, see what that says. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. A while ago when we were over there in James 1, looking at wisdom, it said, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without finding fault. I wonder why we spend so little time asking God for wisdom. Because we think we can do it ourselves. We really think some of the simplest chores, we think, I can do this, Lord. I don't need your help. But you do need his help. You need his help on everything you do. Technically speaking, you and I cannot even take another breath. We can't breathe without God. We have to have that. Wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. You know, when I think about wisdom and I think about this knowledge that he's talking about getting here, have you ever seen anybody that has two or three PhDs or two or three master's degrees or whatever? They have knowledge running out their ears, but they can't even get a job. They don't know how to do anything. In fact, the average person will say, wow, he's got 3 degrees and he can't even come in out of the rain when it rains. And I've seen people like that. The one thing that they lack is wisdom. They don't have wisdom. And there's only one place to get wisdom. And where is that? From God, from the Word of God. The only place in the world you can get wisdom is from God. So you can go to school and get all the understanding you want to. I think about Betty sitting there beside her husband. I love to tell her story, one of them. She has many. But one day she was trying to put She's pretty good with computers. And she was trying to put a package together in Excel or whatever it was, in some spreadsheet. She was putting all the formulas in it to make the company she worked for or she owned or whatever she did. She was trying to make all this work, and she absolutely could not remember the formulas and the exact way to put them in there, so she couldn't make it work. She worked and worked and worked and worked until she gave out. And then she got ready to go to bed. And when she got ready to go to bed, she happened to think, you know, I guess I ought to pray and ask God to show me how to do this. And she prayed and asked something like this. Isn't that right, Betty? Isn't that basically how it happened? Yeah. And so she asked the Lord to give her the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. And then she went to sleep. And during the night, she dreamed all those formulas. She saw all those formulas, the right formulas everywhere in her dream. And she got up the next morning, she was on fire. She run to that computer and began to put all those formulas in the right place. And that spreadsheet's still working today. Is that right, Betty? Yeah. Isn't that something? Now, any man or woman lacks wisdom, where do you get wisdom? From God. You know, why do we work and work and work and work at something when here He is sitting right there within us? The Holy Spirit is within us and He knows the answer to everything you've got, every problem you've got. He knows what's wrong with you. He knows what you need to do, what you don't need to do. He knows that that Jesus healed you on the cross. So He knows how much faith you've got, everything. And we won't even go ask Him to help us. But when you realize that He wants to do good for us, but you have to ask. And if you need that wisdom, it says, wisdom, that's why this scripture can say in verse 11 here of Proverbs 8, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Now, that's pretty important stuff. If there's not anything out there that can compare to wisdom, and the way that we get wisdom is go to God and ask Him to give us wisdom. Every morning when we get up, the first thing we should pray for is, Lord, fill me with Your wisdom. Give me wisdom to be about Your business today. Everything I put my hands to, let me do a good job. Now then, when you pray that, if you're a Christian and he starts doing that, and boy, so you start praying that every day, and awesome things start happening, and after 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, your employer comes by and say, boy, are you smart. I had no idea when I hired you, you were so smart. And if you say, yes, I'm just really something, aren't I? Oh, you're in trouble. You better tell them where that come from. You better tell them that, Jesus, well, I'm a daughter or a son of God, and I prayed, and He gave me this knowledge. And if you'll give Him the glory, then He'll continue to give you that knowledge and wisdom as long as you make Him look good. But if you start trying to take that, that's pride. And man, he moves a long ways from pride. So don't let that get sucked in like that, because the enemy will do it to you if he possibly can. Because I guarantee you that I know for a fact I've done this. I have asked God so many times in my business life, in the business world, to help me with a project. And sometimes He will literally speak to me. In fact, I remember one time right down here at DFW Airport, they were having a problem with the boilers, and they were carrying over, and they could not get the boilers to hold steam. So when I got there about 7 o'clock that morning, the VP, he come to see me and said, Thurman, you got to get down there to the boiler room and see what's wrong with those boilers. He said, the guys have been working on them all night, and they can't figure out what's wrong with them. So I went running down there, and I asked Dan, I said, Dan, what's wrong with the boiler? And he said, Thurman, I never saw anything like this. He said, these boilers will not hold water, steam. He said, they just carry over and shut down on low water. I said, okay. I just held my hand up. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, where did He say for me to get this wisdom? From the Lord? So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask You to show me what's wrong with these boilers. Thank You, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. And that quick, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. So I told Dan and Neil, I said, you boys grab those pipe wrenches right there and break those unions right there and let that condensate run out on the floor. He said, what are you talking about? I said, guys, don't ask me no questions. Just do what I tell you. Amen. You know, so I said, just do what I tell you. And so after they did that and we got everything stabilized and everything started working, they asked me, how did you know what to do so quick? I said, didn't you guys see me pray? Well, yeah. I said, you didn't hear God speak though, did you? They said, no. I said, but I did. He spoke to me and told me exactly what the problem was. And I told you and you did it. And I said, it fixed it, didn't it? And he said, it sure did. And so I went back up to my office. And of course, by the time I got there, the information had got to the VP. He come running down to my office. And he said, Thurman, they tell me you already got it fixed. I said, yeah, sir. It was really quite simple. He says, how in the world did you know what was wrong with it so quick when nobody else could fix it? I said, it's real simple. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to show me what the problem was, and He told me. He wasn't a believer. He said, Are you telling me you asked God to show you what was wrong with those boilers and he told you? I said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I said, yes, I asked the Lord, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and he did it for me. He said, you know, you sound like my mother. He said, my mother always tried to get me to believe in this God, but I never did. So he said, I never seen anything like this. I said, you know, he did this for us, for you, so you could see that he's real. I said, he's real, sir. I said, he loves you and he wants you to accept him as Lord and Savior. So I got a chance to witness to the highest man in the highest position in the company there in that building, the executive vice president, and be able to tell him about Jesus. Now then, can you deny results? Now see, that's what men have a problem with. You know, if I'd have went down there and if the Lord had have told me and I said, oh yeah, I'm just smart, you know, I've studied engineering all these years. I just knew everything about that kind of stuff. So when I got down there, I saw what the problem was. I just told them and they fixed it and that took care of it. I said, you know, how about a race? Is that the way too many men think?
Yeah.
I didn't have a clue what was wrong with that thing, but I knew the one that had the problem, had the answer. And when I go to him and ask him for wisdom, he knew I was going to give him the glory for that wisdom that he gave me to put that company back in business. And I lived my whole life like that. 30 years I worked for those companies. 30 years building buildings, designing equipment, doing all that stuff. And I never, that I can remember, a single time ever built or designed or fixed anything that I didn't pray first. I would invite my lead men into my office every morning and we would have a prayer meeting and I would ask the Lord to give us knowledge and wisdom for the day. And when I first started doing this with men, those men thought, oh my goodness, we have this guy, we got a Bible thumping boss. I'm going to have to find me a new job. But when they begin to see what God did and the miracles he did in the business world, just like those boilers. So one day we were out there and the guys were, you know, it's amazing how we forget, isn't it? We forget, right, Mike? I keep going back to Mike's testimony last Sunday. Boy, y'all heard that. It was great. But anyway, if we forget, you know, we don't go to God, we don't ask him. So they were out there one day, both the leads were out there working on some equipment, and they'd been out there for a couple hours. And so I walked out there and I said, guys, what's wrong? They said, doggone the luck, we just can't figure out what's causing this problem. And then I'm like, Gracie, have you guys prayed about this yet? No, we haven't, Thurman, we haven't. And we know we're supposed to pray, okay, Lord, we're sorry we prayed. Both those boys hit grown men, 40 years old, 45-year-old men, hit the floor on their knees with their hands up, everybody around all over the place says, okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we need to answer. We need to know what's wrong with this piece of equipment. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And I guarantee, as God was my witness, in 5 minutes they had that stuff fixed. I mean, they had it fixed in 5 minutes. God knows that. He knows how to do everything, doesn't he, Mike?
Yes, he does.
See, I'm telling you that testimony last week, you just got to hear that. That's so good. But, you know, don't we love to have testimonies? Don't we love to serve a God that has testimonies every week? That we can talk about? Men. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. It is the most awesome thing. Verse 12. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. He knows everything. Wisdom knows everything. Verse 13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Now, if you fear God, and if you don't fear God, there's something wrong with you. In fact, I read a scripture I want you to see. Last week, I was reading the Word of God, and I come upon Psalms 2, verse 11 and 12. And I want you to see, and then we'll come back to verse 13. Psalms chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, I believe it is. I want you to see what this says. serve the Lord with reverent fear and joy and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12. Submit to God's royal Son, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For his anger flares up in an instant. But what joy for all you that take refuge in him. You know, if you believe that scripture and you believe that means what it says, and I do, because it's written in God's word. Should I praise him and worship him and thank him? Kim, would that be if I knew that scripture was real and I thought he would really get angry and destroy me like he says, would that change the way I do things? I mean, some people say, you know, God, this is crazy. God would never do nothing like this to you. All I got to say is, did I write this book? Is this book been around for a couple thousand years? And that's been in there all the time. So if he says, submit to God's royal Son, that's Jesus Christ, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. So you wonder why people that won't put Jesus first? Let me tell you something that I've learned. In the healing ministry, the number one killer for men is breaking the first commandment. I've seen that verse where it says, and you shall have no other gods before you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. For the men that call themselves Christians that don't do that, I have ministered to more men that call themselves Christians that are 40, 50, 60 years of age that are dying with terminal cancer or MS or ALS or whatever, all kinds of crazy diseases, terrible diseases. And that is the reason they're down and they're struck, is because they have not submitted to God's royal Son. They have not put him first. They've not done what he says. Submit to God's royal Son, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For his anger flares up in an instant, but what joy for all who take refuge in him. If you take refuge in Jesus, there's going to be great joy. Okay, let's go back to verse 13 of Proverbs 8. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. We need to really pay attention to what we say, do we not? The Lord says he hates that perverse speech. Verse 14, let's go on there. Common sense and success belongs to me. Wisdom. Common sense and success belongs to me. Insight and strength are mine. In other words, wisdom is such a powerful thing. And when you read this book of Proverbs and you see how powerful this word wisdom is and what all it involves, you would think that somebody would teach us those kind of things as a young person. Like I don't know why. I guess maybe my dad and my mother didn't know these things. They read the Bible a lot, but they didn't know and understand these things. They just read it. And of course, since they didn't know how to explain it to me, I grew up reading the Bible, not knowing what it meant either. But finally, when I came back from Vietnam, I decided I'm going to sit down with this book. I'm going to read this book word by word and line by line. And it's going to prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt this book means exactly what it says. And it has done that. It has absolutely done that. Verse 15. Because of me, wisdom, kings reign and rulers make just decrees because of wisdom. 16. Rulers lead with my help. Nobles make righteous judgments with the help of wisdom. I love all who love me. Wow. Do you want God to love you? I do, I'll tell you for sure. Wisdom says, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. So he may not make it so easy. You may not get it the very first time you ask. But if you stay on his doorstep, he will reveal himself to you. Next verse. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. Riches and honor. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages are better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. Okay, right there. Stop and talk about that a second. You have any idea how many people come to me and Cheryl on a weekly basis that have a problem with finances? A lot. It's amazing how many people need us to pray for them to have finances. We can't meet our payments. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. In other words, if you're loving the Lord and putting him first, did he promise to fill your treasuries and to fill you with wealth? Okay. If that's not happening, if that's not happening to you, then you need to really get in there and start seeking the Lord and asking him, what are you not doing that does not please him? If you start pleasing the Lord, I guarantee if you start pleasing him, and of course, then if you, it's still very, very well okay for you to come and ask Cheryl and I to pray for you for a financial blessing as long as you're putting God first. One of the things I have learned that causes people not to be blessed financially is they hold a bitterness or an unforgiveness towards someone. Now, when you hold a bitterness or an unforgiveness towards someone, you will open the door to a tormenting spirit of poverty. And he will come in and he will destroy your life and your children's lives. He'll make you sick, your children sick, and you will not be able to get healed as long as you carry that unforgiveness. It's just awful when what happens when we don't understand God's word. But those who love me, wisdom, inherit wealth, and I will fill their treasuries. Would you like to have your treasury filled? I would too. I like to have my treasury full. There's not anything wrong. In fact, God is the one that told us he would fill us with all this wealth and fill our treasuries and everything. All we got to do is what? Love him and love wisdom. So when we love God and do what he says and obey him and walk in obedience to his word, he just blesses our socks off. I mean, just blesses our socks off. It says, the Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. The Lord formed me. Who is he talking about there? Wisdom. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first before the earth began. Just think, there was a time when there was no wisdom. There was a time when God is sitting down and making everything step by step. I can only imagine how awesome that must have been to see him do all these things and design all these things and to make all these things. And then we look at this and then we back off and think, well, this just happened. You know, I've got a lot of faith, but I don't have that much faith. I don't have enough faith to believe that this just happened. Do you? No. I think about if I build a building, especially a big building, I think of the time it takes to sit down and plan all the details of that building. And to think that you think that that's just going to happen. Even if you get a set of plans and say, okay, here's the plans. I just want to build a little building, just a maybe a 50,000 square footer, just a small building. So I'm going to do all the details and everything and get all the architectural engineering work done. And then I'll say, okay, there's the drawings. Building happen. What do you think the chances are of that happening? No, it ain't going to happen. I've never seen it happen. But the wisdom was appointed in ages past. At the very first, before the earth began, wisdom was one of the very first things that God created to go along with him, to help him do this. Wow, what a God. Verse 24. I was born before the oceans were created. That's wisdom. Wisdom was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubble forth their water. All this. Before the mountains were formed, before the hills, I was born. Before he had made the earth and the fields and the first handful of soil, he made wisdom. You think wisdom must be important? If God made wisdom before he made all these other things, and then he told us, if any man lacks wisdom, why don't we ask him? If we would ask God for this kind of wisdom in everything we do with his word and everything else, we wouldn't have any testimonies like that one I gave a while ago about that senior pastor, that whenever one of his associate pastors messed up his knee and they're going to call 911, we don't have time to pray. We need a doctor. We would not have those kind of testimonies. You know, the way that ought to happen, anytime somebody gets hurt like that, I mean, I don't care where we are, what we're doing. The first thing should be on our heart is, let me pray for you. And then you should pray in faith, believing that what you're going to pray is going to come to pass. And if you do, you'll get to see God do awesome things. I mean, just like whenever I use Jack a lot because he had some awesome testimonies, but whenever I told him when he had first came here and he had back troubles, I told him, I said, Jack, when we pray for you, first of all, you got to get rid of all sin. And so he didn't have a problem with that. He's been raised a good Baptist, Southern Baptist. He knew we're supposed to confess our sin. So he did that. And then we prayed the prayer of faith and stood on a promise of God. And then I asked him a question. I said, how's your back? And he, of course, started bending and twisting a little bit. And he said, well, it don't feel no better than it did when I first come in here. I said, but Jack, we don't go by feeling in this church. We go by it is written. So I said, I want you to begin, walk out of this place, go out to your car, and I want you to praise the Lord and thank him that you're healed. And he said, but Thurman, I'm not healed. I said, yes, you are. It's already done. God's already done it for you. Now you got to believe it. And so he said, okay, if I got to believe it, I believe it. He said, I can do that. So he walked out of the church praising God for his complete healing on his back, which he had had a problem for several years. He gets out there to the car, starts to get in the car, and all of his pain went away, and he's never had a pain since. So, you know, all you got to do is believe God. Is that right, Jack? That's all you got to do is repent of sins and believe God. He made us all these wonderful promises. But before he had made the earth and fields and the first handful of dirt. I look at that. I thought about that very scripture last week whenever we put Eldon's body in the ground up there in Oklahoma. They did an Indian type burial where they take all the flowers and everything off, everything, and then they lower the coffin inside of the, what do you call that, vault. Yeah, the vault. Everything's in the ground right there, and that's the first funeral I've ever been to that I've seen it done like this. Usually they leave and they cover them up after you're gone. But this day they did everything, took everything off and everything, and then everybody reached down and got a handful of dirt and put it on top of the vault. They said the Indians do that. That's their final handshake with the person before they're gone. So I thought, okay, if that's the way they want to do it, that's okay to me. The reason that I don't care how you do it, because the man that I know and love, just his piece of dirt is all that's in that body. Just a piece of dirt. The man that I loved and I worked with and an elder of our church, he's in heaven dancing on streets of gold. He ain't in that tomb. He's not in that grave. So I don't care how you want to do it. It don't make any difference to me. I know that I know that I know that each one of us that know Jesus, when we take our last breath on this earth, whether we're 70 years old, 100 years old, or 500 years old, the minute we leave this body, we're going to be in the presence of the King. And so until then, let's just enjoy life and love the Lord and have fun and do what He says and walk in love. Verse 27. I was there when He established the heavens, when He drew the horizons on the oceans. Just think about this. It's like God's painting all this. He's building all this, designing all this. That's beyond me, but that's what we do when we build a building. You know, we do it just like that. And so, but he's building a big building, I'll say that. He says, I was there when He established the heavens, when He drew the horizons on the oceans. Verse 28. I was there when He set the clouds above, when He established the springs deep in the earth. He didn't forget anything, did He? I was there when He set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when He marked off the earth's foundations. That, to me, is, as an engineer, architect, I think about building this little building. This was kind of just a piece of cake, but it's a nice little building, and it didn't cost us much, and we built it debt-free, and I can look up there and look at all those trusses, those steel trusses and everything, and think that Eldon Niddle, the man that we put in the grave up in Oklahoma last week, he and I lay right here on this floor with our welders, and every weld on all of those things, he and I welded this whole thing up. Where did we get that wisdom? From God. God give us the knowledge and wisdom to do that. We welded these things up and we built this building, and we literally built a building that'll hold a couple of hundred people for about $150,000. Isn't that something? And we got lots of people saved and everything in here, and we didn't have to have gold doorknobs. We didn't have to have a million-dollar facility to get people saved and healed and delivered. So, but I was the architect at His side. I was His constant delight, rejoicing always in His presence. Verse 32. Oh, 31. And how happy I was with the world He created. How I rejoiced with the human family. The human family. Just think, God told us right here. He made a human family. And that family consisted of one man, one woman, and children, boys and girls. And He ain't never changed His mind. You know, it's got to be a powerful, crazy, stupid demon that convinces a man that he's a woman. So we have all power and all authority over those spirits. You know, I think about, in fact, I just saw it on TV just a couple of Sundays ago. John Hagee was playing the story and telling the story about how he was shot at six or eight times in his church. And a man walked down the aisle, and he'd been teaching against homosexuals. And this man was a homosexual. And he walked right down the aisle at Hagee's church and got right here, within about from here to that 6 feet away, 6 or 7 feet away, reached in a coat and pulled out a gun. And Hagee stepped out from behind the podium and pointed his finger at him and said, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And that guy shot 6 times or 7 times, whatever it was, at John Hagee from 6 feet away. And John Hagee is an extremely large man. He's very overweight. You know, so I don't know what he weighs, but he's pretty heavy, pretty big. But if you can't hit John Hagee at 6 foot, who do you think was protecting John Hagee? The Lord was, of course, because he stood on the word. It wouldn't have made no difference if John Hagee had been this wide. You know, he's not that wide, but if he'd have been this wide or if he'd have been this wide, it doesn't make any difference. God was there and God was protecting his son. And so all Hagee had to do was call on the Lord. And now then, you know, the Lord did what he said he was going to do, and he protected him. And how happy was I with the world he created? How I rejoiced with the human family. And I don't know about you, but I think I know most of your heart in here that you're still praising the Lord that you are a part of a family that had one man, one woman, one mother, one daddy, and you need to be like that. And we're going to find out as all these different men and women are running for president this year, this next year, we're going to find out who is really a believer and who's not. It's going to be something to see those people that'll be a shame to get up in front of the world and say, I believe that one man and one woman constitutes a marriage. Not two men, not two women, but one man and one woman. But it's coming. The Lord said we're going to be persecuted. So you need to really study the book, really make sure you know who you are as sons and daughters of God. Because who knows what's going to happen? Could be really bad for the world. If you're a Christian and you're walking in obedience to God's word, he's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. But you may see that Psalms 91 come into existence where he said, and I've been in war and I've never seen anything like this. You shall see 1,000 fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your side, but it will not come near you. I've never seen 10,000 fall at one time. But I know that some of those old C-124s, 123s, and some of those airplanes had the little mini Gatling guns on them. I remember Paul telling me one of the stories when he was flying a helicopter with those little mini Gatling guns on it. When the guys called him out there one day and said they was in a cave over there in Vietnam and there was a big lion trying to come in that cave. And I don't think they had any guns. So they called him and asked him if he would shoot in that cave with his mini Gatling gun. And he said, I might hit one of y'all. And they says, no, we're around behind the corner. It's impossible for you to hit us. But that lion is between us and the front door. So just point in there and shoot. So he flew his helicopter out there and lined up on that thing and just barely touched the trigger. And that's all it took. He said, did I hit him? They said, you cut him completely in two. Now that's what those little Gatling guns would do. And if you've never seen one of those or never understood that, when they shoot, it's just like a solid wall of bullets. I mean, it'll kill everything. It'll kill everything out there. And that's where we could meet this criteria that if people's not serving God and those kind of people were shooting at us, it would be very easy to see one of those mini Gatling guns will shoot, I think, up to 6,000 rounds or something like that a minute. But the Lord says if we serve him and put him first, we shall see those thousands fall at our side, but it won't come near us. Does that make it worth working for? Amen. Does that make it worth doing what he said? Walking in love with the master? Because if you walk in love with the master, he will protect you, I guarantee. Just like whenever I tell people, I said, if you will put God first and do what he says, I guarantee he will heal you. And of course, you know, when we were on the Sid Ross show, Sid said, Thurman, how in the world can you guarantee God will heal people? I said, because he made the guarantee. I just stand on his word and do what he says. And I said, anybody that meets God's criteria, that believes in him with no doubt in their heart and does what he says, sometimes it takes a while for you to get there Sometimes you don't have that faith to start off with. So if you don't have that kind of faith to start off with, you just keep studying God's Word until you do get that kind of faith. When you do get that kind of faith, and sometimes God will just use somebody just to pray for you. You know, in fact, I didn't know this until this last Sunday, I think it was, that, again, I'm going to talk about Betty back there, her and her husband Bill. She said years ago when we were over in Dallas, that when I, in fact, that day, I'll never forget that day, I walked up on the little platform, and we're getting ready to have a little service, and there's probably, I don't know, 100 people there maybe. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, there's a lot of my people here today that have pain in their body. I want you to call them all up that have pain, and I want you to pray for them, and I'm going to heal everybody that has pain in their body. Good day to be at church, ladies and gentlemen. Good day to be at church. See, now you won't find this out in the world. This never happened in the world. But in church, God can do this. And so since we had a healing ministry, so I said, Lord, okay, so I just made an announcement. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. I said, he's never done this like this before. But he says, there's some of you here that have pain in your body, and if you have pain in your body, he wants to heal you. So I said, come up here. Now, I expected 4 or 5 people to get up, but about 30, I guess, or more. I didn't know that Betty, you didn't tell me. It was last Sunday, I think, wasn't it, when you told me you were one of those ladies? This lovely lady right here, she said, you know, I was at that service when you said you had pain. She said, I had pain in my shoulder, I think, her left shoulder, and been hurting her for a while. So she said, I came up, and she said, the minute you touched me in the name of Jesus, my pain went away. And she said, I've never had another pain in that shoulder since. Isn't that something? Now then, that day, God used the gift of healing, and he put that gift on me because nobody had to express, no faith, no nothing. In fact, Kim was there, her and her husband were here there that day. And that was their first day ever to come to the Living Savior Ministries Church. They had never been there before. And so, because she had back troubles, and she wanted to be healed, and so she wouldn't come up at all because she thought, I don't know about this, you know. Maybe if I go up there, they'll push me down or something like this, you know. So she said, I ain't going. So she stayed at her seat, and God healed her at the seat.
Amen.
She didn't even have to come up. You've been healed about 10 years now, haven't you?
Yes.
Y'all see how wonderful our God is?
Amen.
How awesome he is and what he wants to do for us. He wants to do good things for us, but he wants us to do things for him. He wants us to love him, doesn't he? And just put him first. And sir, that's all he wants from you. God wants your love. That's all he wants is your love. And if you'll just love him and serve him, man, he'll heal you. He'll do all kinds of things. So that day that we prayed for those people, as those people came up one-on-one, and as we prayed for them one-on-one, as their pain went away, and some of them it just took that long. And some of them I didn't pray for them at all, like Kim. She didn't even come up, but Betty, she said she did. I didn't remember who was there because there was probably 25 or 30. I do remember Cheryl, my wife now, which wasn't my wife at the time, when she was seeing everybody get healed up here. She's thinking, she said, do I have any pain somewhere? I want to go up here and get prayed for. She wanted a touch from God. And she had no idea that in a couple of years from then that she was going to be married to me and I was going to be able to pray over her anytime and for anything. And anytime she has a need, our King shows up to take away her pain and heal her. And that's the way it's supposed to be with the husbands and the wife. So, you know, if you're not there, you need to get there. You need to learn how to love God, put him first, learn how to pray so he can do great and wonderful things through your life. And I'm here to tell you that I love it every time my wife comes in and say, honey, will you pray for me? And I lay my hands on her and pray for her. And a few minutes later, I say, how's the pain? She said, it's gone. I'm okay. I love that. I love to see my God do that for my wife. But you notice we're one woman and one man. That's the way it works. So anyway, we're going to take our communion now. Let's get this going. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this bread, which is a symbol of the body of our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for bearing our sin, bearing our sickness, removing our disease on the cross so we don't have to be sick no more, so we don't have to sin no more. I thank you, Father, for the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. The most powerful thing in the universe, the blood of the Savior that cleansed every person on the earth from all sin. So we don't have to sin anymore. It's a choice. Every time we sin, it's a choice. Help us, Lord, to make the right choice that we do not sin against you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Amen.